The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, Random Reptoid, or Chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us, share your story, share your experience, because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. It is Casual Friday, so we're very excited about that. You know the rules, right? Casual Friday, anything goes. I have a lot of stuff I'd like to talk about today, but if there's something that you would rather talk about, then go ahead and let me know, and we will figure it out. We'll put it in. You know, a couple things I want to ask you all about, if you are open to it, and if you want to, take part in the comments section. You know, I'm going to ask some questions, put it in the comments section if you want to answer it. You don't have to if you don't want to. And those listening at home, just enjoy. Normally Friday, we would have Adam with us, Thursday and Friday, but Adam is under the weather. So everyone, please send your best wishes to him. We obviously want him to feel better soon. So note that. So it's just me here tonight, and there's some dark and creepy things we're going to talk about. And what better way to do so than to do it at the station by yourself, with no one here, with no lights on. And from there, create such wonderful memories of dark and creepy studio. So that's what I have going on for me tonight. A couple things I want to talk about. First of all, I just have to say I feel good about something. And what that is that all this week I have had guests on where they've been showing me pictures. And I've been putting them online during the program. And I know that the majority of the people who partake in this program is actually our radio listeners, but they couldn't see what I'm talking about. Now, we did our very best to explain what we were looking at, though the visual experience was so much better. And there's some really cool things that we had shown. But I don't feel so bad anymore because I was listening on my way back, Patty Vasquez, Driving It Home with Patty Vasquez, which airs immediately after my show. And and she was talking with cartoonist Scott, and they were talking about, they're showing each other pictures and stuff. And then she's just like, this makes great radio, doesn't it? And I'm like, yes, thank you. Exactly how I felt. But, if you want to see what we're talking about, especially Monday when we had Angela Boley on, which was a psychic portrait artist, and some of the stuff that she had shown us this week, wow, really incredible. Go to Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken, and you can rewatch. If you're a YouTube fan, we have a channel there, MN Ghost Box Official. There isn't an unofficial one, but it just, someone already had took MN Ghost Box. So, that's why I took it. Go there. All of my shows visually are there in case anyone cares. You know, if you're going through the Facebook page, I post a lot of stuff throughout the week. So some of it might be harder to find. But if you go to MN Ghost Box Official, I do have all of my radio shows, the video of it there, all of them. So it's really good. We had that. Now, I had a number of people reach out to me today because last night we aired that episode with Bishop Christina Rake talking about fact versus fiction when it came to the Exorcist films and the purpose of it. If you haven't listened to this, I think you're going to want to. This was an amazing episode. We had to pre-record it because Bishop Rake is in bed by this time, and that's fair. So what we did is we pre-recorded it for Thursday. It's never aired before. Thursday was the first time. And, we had her on as she's an exorcist, and we went through different things in the Exorcist film that Regan had gone through, that the two children in the new one had gone through. And it was like, Bishop Rake, have you run across this before? And we also talked about her most recent exorcism that she took part in. You know, really light subject, right? You know, really, really light and fluffy sort of a conversation for a Thursday. And we also talked about her demonology course. And we had a number of people reach out and ask me what the email address was for the demonology course. And you can go back and listen to it if you like. But I am trying to get it from her because I don't remember. And I asked her, and her response was, yeah, it was a lot of fun, wasn't it? So I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to write anymore. But the thing is that I will get that. I will post it to my Facebook page, Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken, this weekend. We'll put that there so those can take part. And remember, none of that money that she gets for the classes goes to her. It goes to her ministry that she helps children with and stuff. So, and once again, I'm going to say this. I feel like I have to say this because I actually just got a call from someone yesterday who is outing people that I know who are demonologists who actually never really did any true study to be a demonologist. If you take this course from Bishop Rake, it does not mean you're a demonologist. It means that you now know about demonology. Those are two very different things. I want to know about demonology. So I'm, you know, I've been threatening to take this course for a long time. But there are people who think, oh, that means I'm a demonologist now. Or I can pay money for some sort of like extra license to be a demonologist without actually having to do any of the work. You know, why I bring this up is because it's very scary. You have a real effect on people. And there's stories I heard over the last couple of days about certain people that I know about that I will not share. It's not my place to share, but I think it's going to come out and it's going to be pretty scandalous. And the point is that eventually you will be caught if you are not doing the work and if you are a fraud in what you say you are. No different than if you're a fraud trying to be a doctor or something. It catches up. And, you know, there's just something about this field. And I know it's not the only field on planet Earth that's this way. But there's something about this field that just makes people want to just go straight from don't know much about it to wanting to be an expert. And I do not understand what it is. And I posted about it that I just don't understand. I posted about it this week about people who think that they're celebrity ghost hunters because they've done like one investigation. It might have been on YouTube or something. I just don't get it. I really don't, and it's so frustrating. Heather, let us know. You have a question about demonology, demonologists. Let me know. I can help you. I'm fairly certain. If not, I will be very honest and tell you I can't, and I can find an answer for you if you like. So if you feel free, if you want to share on for the show. So I'm going to get off my soapbox about that. There'll be another day about that, but honestly, there's something about this field that you do something in it once and you suddenly go on to think that you are an expert in it. So, there's a guy, and I think I've told this story before. There's a guy, there was a show called Ghost Bait. Anyone remember that? They would take people, put them into a haunted location, put like a burlap sack over their head and like wait for ghosts to do stuff to them. And one guy, he had been on it, and it's probably a 15-minute segment. I don't think it's a whole program. He was on it, and next thing I know, because he befriended me on Facebook, I was like, oh, okay, no problem. And then he started sending me links to stuff like, oh, you come to my Facebook page, you know, I can't remember his name, fan appreciation page is what he called it. His name and fan appreciation page for being on Ghostbait for I don't think a whole episode. Even if it was a whole episode, there are no fans appreciating you. I'm sorry. That's just how it is. And there's just something about this field that does that. I just don't understand. I don't get it. So this week we had seen, it's been theatrically released today, The Exorcist Believer, and it's so much fun talking about films like this in an empty studio with hardly any lights on. I can't tell you how amazing this is right now. But we saw that this week. Have you seen it yet? If you've seen it, put your comments, what you think of it, non-spoiler comments, and please put them into the comment section. I'm curious what you all think about it. This is not what I expected this film to be like. And I just feel like it's not a gore film. It's not an Al Gore film. No, you know what I mean, though. It's not gory. It's, there is blood. There are things in there that are disturbing, but it's not over the top, in my opinion. And it's a very different sort of film than the second, third. I don't remember if there is a fourth or if they stopped at third for The Exorcist. I think there was a fourth, wasn't there? I don't know, but it was really good. It was really an interesting film. Took it in a different place, but still linked back to the original. And to me, the original is truly where it's at. Now, Heather's question is, what is the purpose of gaining this knowledge? I'm a witch, but also a minister's daughter, so you can see I'm coming from two sides of the coin on this. What is the benefit in the ghost hunting field to knowing about demons? I think it's a very good question. I'm going to do my best to answer this for you. And if I go into my break, I'll finish up when I come back from break. The purpose of knowing about it is because it's very simply this. Knowledge is power, right? I think you're even alluding to it yourself. You're a witch, but also a minister's daughter. So you know stuff. That stuff can be applied to things. Just because I know about it doesn't mean that I necessarily am going to ever be a demonologist or anything like that. But I know stuff, and I have people that come to me for paranormal investigations. They want me to maybe help out on cases or whatever else. And as most of you may or may not know, when you have people coming to you to take part in a case, do something in their house, try to get, you know, either some sort of an arrangement with the spirits there, you know, they're going to always say, most times, right away I get, they've already told me it's a demon. You know, I think it's a demon here. Well, there's four stages to demon depression. And so I'm kind of clicking those off in my head if someone is telling me that they think it's a demon. That's knowledge. I know how spirit works. I know the type of things that spirit does. I know the type of things that demons do. Demon, if you have possession, oppression from a demon, you're not going to say to me, I think it's a demon. You're going to say to me that this is the worst possible experience of my life, that, and it's probably not even going to be you that says it. It's going to be somebody else, because you're not even going to know it's happening, or you are too deep in already. That's knowledge. Once again, I have knowledge. With that knowledge, I'm not going to be like, well, I'm going to go now and I'm going to do some demonology stuff and blah, blah, blah. Because that's not my place. I'm not a demonologist. But you know what? I know a lot of them. I know demonologists. And from there, I can collect information and I can hand it along to someone like Bishop Christina Rake, Bishop Rita Strugula, Bishop James Long. There is a number of them that I can send that over to, talk over the case with them, maybe even sit on an interview process with our client the way that I originally did with them. I can give my opinion, but then there's a point that I hand it off to the right people. But with that knowledge, I know my limits and I know what I can do. And I think that is something that's worth talking about and having. The problem is you run into way too many people in this field who are like, well, yeah, it's a demon, but I like to take credit for everything. And I think I'm, you know, the most powerful, you know, entity in the universe, so I'm going to go and I'm going to take care of this demon for you. Number one, it's probably not a demon. You know, I talked to a demonologist. Less than 5% of the cases that he had done in 15 years had anything to actually do with a demon. Once again, if it is a demon, you'll know. And what I mean by that is, as an investigator, as somebody who is working with a client, if it was a demon, you would already be affected. It's already coming. It's this. These things are 5 to 10 steps ahead of us. So we know what's going on. We know, I mean, they know what's going on. We know what's going on. It's something that you cannot necessarily explain, but you do know when it's happening and your life is being destroyed around you. That's what a demon does. And that's why it's important to know what this is. In the case of Bishop Rake's course, it's an academia course. So you're going to get, instead of just being like, oh, this is what demonology is and this is what how people do it stuff, her course is going to be, this is where it began in written civilization. And here are the habeas corpus, all this other stuff that, and I said that wrong, that is not actually completely not what that is. That's Abraham Lincoln, sorry. She's going to cite, and you're going to be able to cite where stuff comes from. And as a paranormal investigator, then I can take that information and I can go ahead and I can consult, I can help. I don't know if that helps, Heather, but that's kind of where I'm at with that. And it's always good to know stuff. Doesn't mean you have to be it, though, right? You don't have to be the demonologist, but you just have to know it. Let's take our first break. When we come back, let's do question of the week. We had a lot of responses to it. We're going to go through the comments as well. A lot of people have seen The Exorcist Believer. We have a whole lot to go. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio, Casual Friday on AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken. It's Casual Friday here. We've been talking about all sorts of wonderful things. Just to kind of close the loop on the last question, once again, we always talk about the light, fluffy stuff on this program, even on Casual Friday. Heather had asked about demons, demonologists, what's, you know, why get to know the knowledge of all that. Let's see here. Heather also says that she recommends the book Consorting with Spirits by Jason Miller. I don't necessarily view demons as bad per se. I have heard other people say that, or actually one other person say that. I might check that out just to understand that point of view, because with respect, Heather, I do not understand that point of view at the moment. But I also understand that we're talking about going way back to pretty much the beginning of time, aren't we, when it comes to the term demon, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, that's going to be a hard one for people to swallow, I think. But I'll definitely give that a look for fair play. I appreciate the recommendation. Heather also says that she saw the film on Tuesday. Matter of fact, she was one of the people that got tickets for the advanced screening. And I just want to thank everyone for showing up for that advanced screening. You know, it just is really cool that we got a number of tickets. We were able to give away all those tickets this time, which is really exciting because that means that we can do it again because the promotion company likes us. So that's always good. Adam, who is sick at the moment, he says it's not a bad film. It's a good story. But I think I keep comparing it to the original, and it's not the same movie. It's a good start to a new trilogy. You know, I think that might be one of the areas that I kind of am in the same boat about, is that when we were leaving the theater, Dave Schrader was there, and he asked me what I thought. I said it wasn't what I expected, and and with his response to it, I was reading some comments. I apologize. With his response to it, he said, "I think it was a great movie," and I do think it's a good movie. But to that point, that original movie, it's, first of all, it's very raw. It feels very raw, even though it's not a raw film, if that makes sense. It's shot in a way that, you know, is very believable, and it's very frightening. and it's raw. It's very on point. And even in the first 30 to 40 minutes of the film, when you're building up to understanding that Regan is possessed and you're getting all of these little tidbits about that, it is enough to kind of keep you going, because it's enough that the jump scares in Believer are fine, but the jump scares in the original Exorcist, even I've seen it a number of times, is still, it still jumps, you know, it still makes me, you know, jump. So, but I'm not saying don't go see the film. The film is very good. I can't agree with you more. It's hard when you have one of the best films in the genre that wasn't a genre at the time the film was made, and it created the genre. And, you know, as we found out, as I didn't quite understand, you know, it was nominated for, 11 Academy Awards. I mean, it's pretty incredible. So, it's pretty good. Cynthia says that she'd only seen the first movie, kind of thought it was funny, technically, don't do demons. A lot of people don't. I find a lot of people don't, especially people who are really connected with mediumship and whatnot. They just don't want to have that in their system in any way, shape, or form. And that's a question for another day, I think. Do you think that watching these films, are we inviting stuff in when we're watching it? Now, what we also learned from Bishop Rake yesterday, if you listen, and if you haven't listened, give it a listen. Go to ghostboxradio.com, listen to the episode with Bishop Rake about The Exorcist. That is only a modern interpretation of how you can get possessed, that inviting them in. That is not really 100% true, that it's also a matter of the you could be cursed by it. You know, it's a lot of different things. It's not exactly as we've been told all these years. So very interesting stuff. Now, moving along here a little bit, because we had a lot of responses. I asked the question today, actually. I'm so on the ball with this. I asked the question today, what is your favorite scary movie and why? And it's a very simple question, but I think that's a good one. And I just want to get down, because it goes to show, and see if I can find the comment I'm looking for. Let's see. The thing is that someone didn't have an issue with it, but they had to tell me that they don't like the term scary. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? Amber says, I do haunted, not horror or haunted, though I do feel the minority in the paranormal community, basically saying that maybe scary isn't the right word. I just didn't know, because I don't want to say horror film, because I think that to me that conjures up like slasher film and stuff. And there are some slasher films in here that people want. Justin says his favorite is The Thing. He enjoys the use of practical effects. I love practical effects. And, you know, I understand now that even when practical effects are used, sometimes there's a little bit of CG that kind of enhances it, maybe smooths out a couple things. I don't have a problem with that. It's for me, it's just when it's completely digital, because it's just too much now. Everything kind of looks the same. Zanzi says, and I think this is a really good point, Alien. And Alien is a horror film. You know, it is truly a horror film. And it's one of those that is just pretty incredible that that you can have this wonderful space. You know, in space, no one can hear you scream. Lisa says, Halloween, the original, in her opinion, the backstory is more believable to me. Locked up psychopath, escapes, etc. I think Rob Zombie did a good job with the remakes and delved more into the possible backstory of Michael and possibly why he started his killing spree. And then she says Strangers is very close second. I'll say this about Halloween. I do like And I think to someone else, I said the exact opposite. You could see how really coherent of a human being I am. With Halloween, so you had Halloween and you had like, you know, 1,000 other films of Halloween. And then you had the one in what, 2018 was that? When Jamie Lee Curtis came back, and basically the point of that film is that it takes care, it gets rid of everything after the first film. And then there's two more, that's her, that one film I just talked about, and then another. I like that. I like that in a sense. I like that you could kind of verge into different directions. And I actually like that version of Halloween. I haven't seen the second one. Was that second one called Halloween Dies or something like that? Leanne says nefarious, very real world content. Debbie says The Entity and Exorcist, real life events that I've seen personally. Well, and that's just it right there, right? That's always something. And Diana says 1979, When a Stranger Calls. First half mostly because when she saw it, first she saw it was a babysitter and was almost all too real. I get it. The first time in this list that The Shining makes an appearance, it's such a suspense, and the Stanley Hotel is beautifully creepy, and being one who has The Shining, it stuck with me. Now, I've never been to the Stanley Hotel. Of all the places I've been to, I've never been there, and that might be because it's expensive. I'm a paranormal investigator, but I'm also a cheap paranormal investigator as well, so you got that as well. Don't even get me started on how much some of this stuff costs. And I think there you really only can investigate, because I don't think there's any sort of real events or stuff there. I mean, if you're going to investigate, you probably just can investigate your room or something like that. Let's see. Cole says The Dead and Wicked. It just got under my skin in a way no other movies could. A close contender would be It Follows. Diane says Haunting in Connecticut. Awesome movie, scary. It's creepy and believable, amazing storyline, great horror movie. Heather, who we've been talking to tonight, says, I think The Exorcist Believer just blew my Conjuring universe out of the water. I will learn to read someday. I really enjoyed the fact that it took several belief systems to perform. Okay, you're giving me spoilers. let's just go through the film, why don't we? And that's not her fault. She's just answering the question. I just need to learn to read some of these a little bit earlier. But here's the thing, is that The Exorcist clearly had taken from the Conjuring films. The Exorcist Believer, it took from its own backstory, but I think the story is more in line to something that's in the Conjuring universe. What do you all think about that, who has seen it? I think that it's, you know, the type of scares, the way that it, in my mind, Exorcist Believer took a little long to get going, and I just seen The Nun 2 probably about 2 weeks ago before that, and I thought the same thing. It took a while to get going. Let's see. Suzanne says The Shining gets on her nerves every time. Let's see. Pamela Pierce says The Legend of Boggy Creek. Well, she would, because Pamela, her father directed The Legend of Boggy Creek. Pamela herself is in The Legend of Boggy Creek, but it is very, very good. We need you back on, Pamela. We need you back on. We had you on once before talking about the film. For those who are interested in such things, which I always am, The Legend of Boggy Creek is available as Blu-ray, 4K as well, completely restored. Actually, Robert, who lives in my house, he rents my basement, he actually got it from them, The Legend of Boggy Creek, 4K. It's really nice looking. It is really nice looking. Lynette says, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, based on a true story, kind of a hometown feel. Absolutely. We should do an episode on that. And this is what I love about these questions, because people take it in different directions, and that's what I think is so creative. Chris says in Florida, he says, Jaws, I still get nervous in the ocean or Gulf. And that's too bad, Chris, because you live on the Gulf of Florida. So that must really not be a lot of fun for you. Now, the last time I was in the Gulf, which was a number of years ago, and I don't think you or Michelle were down there yet, we went to a jetty, and we saw dolphins flying around. They fly, okay? Don't try to argue with me on it. They fly. They're jumping in and out of the water, you know, splashing around, that sort of thing. Beautiful, actually. I haven't been down to Florida in a very long time. And Heather thought that the Nun 2 was great. It was great. I thought the first one was better, though, if I were to be completely honest with you. What else do we got here? Susie says Cabin in the Woods. It was different and a great cast. The quote from the movie I think is best is, "These are things your nightmares come from." I also like the humor sprinkled in. That is always good when you have actually a really good plot that has a little bit of fun, a little bit of personality to it. Shane says, "Night of the Living Dead, 1968, a definite classic. It was the first horror movie I was allowed to watch as a kid. Nostalgia at its finest." Michelle, who is married to Chris, also on the golf, "I used to say Event Horizon, but due to memories being attached to an actual event that happened while watching it, Amityville Horror gets chills just remembering it." So Michelle gave us a long version of the story, and I'm going to read it because I think it's very interesting. And this is something that really plays. This is the point of these films, right? So she says, "Now the long story. Built a house that sat vacant for a few months due to a country board versus town board fiasco. All new buildings in the township got to suffer for months until it was resolved. That delayed changed inspections. I was finally able to move in, and that night I was allowed to and decided to watch Amityville Horror." Wow. "While watching, a windstorm sprung up and door from the house to the garage flew open." Sounds like a great night so far. "The power flickered." Yep. "Then there was this horrible thwack against the huge living room picture window and the wall and ceiling above me, and it just kept going. I felt like the whole house wanted me to get out. Ends up, we had faulty shingles, okay, like improperly stored, or were they just installed, or are they actually faulty on the garage, and the wind was peeling them all off." Just peeling them all off when you're watching Amityville. I don't know. Are you sure that's not demonic? Are you sure that's not something you should be looking into? They say there's no such thing as coincidence. And they were peeling off, and they were striking the living room wall, window, roof one by one. But at the time, it was scary. It's scary no matter what. Don't tell me it's not scary now. Ruben, and this is, once again, I love these questions because I love the answers because everyone has some really great creative answers. Ruben says, "The Wrath of Khan, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. When the body falls out visiting the Genesis base, it was always startled me, not to mention helmet scene with Chekhov." Wrath of Khan, of course, is a fantastic film in general. Julie says, "Phantasm, eerie, had a mortuary. Kids running around screaming, had little ball that flew around and sliced people up." Yep, that's good stuff. Jeremy says, "Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the movie just so much fun to watch because of how utterly ridiculously different it is." Meg says, "Night of the Demon." Bishop Rake says, "Hereditary." "Hereditary as the scariest, most disturbing, most perfectly crafted, but the one I can watch again and again without tiring. Haunt. It was really different. The Last Exorcism is up there too." And then Stephanie right away says, "Also Hereditary. The movie really got me with how intense some scenes were when I was a kid. It was Nightmare on Elm Street movies and Stephen King's It, the original one with Tim Curry." I think that aired on Sci-Fi, right? And then, of course, we have Contagion. That was scary, and then it happened. Yep. Let's see. Rama says, "Most recently, Pope's Exorcist, based on the true events. Very intelligent movie. That's Father Amont." And the thing about that is that we talked about that film, or we talked about Father Amort with that documentary. That leads us all back to The Exorcist, doesn't it, with the demon and Father Amort. Why don't we do this? Let's go ahead. Let's take our next break. When we come back, let's read a couple more of these if you're all up for it. We got some stories to talk about. Anything else on your mind, just put it in the comments. You're listening to Ghost Box Radio. It's Casual Friday on AM 950. And join us Monday on Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. We're going to do something a little bit different, but one of my favorite people in the world, Scott Michaels, is going to be on Monday. We're going to be talking about old Hollywood. He does a site called findadeath.com. He also did Dearly Departed tours in Hollywood. He has taken a lot of stuff from homes that are being destroyed, from the stars and stuff. He has stuff that had once belonged to Lucille Ball. We're going to be talking about what the fascination is with celebrities and their deaths and stuff. And if you go to findadeath.com, you're probably not going to leave there. You might be like, oh, this is horrible. Why would you write about stuff like this? And then next thing you know, 5 hours have passed, and you're going to be like, oh, okay, this is really interesting. He is amazing. And if you want to see him in action, actually watch the Ghost Adventures episode at the Cecil Hotel. He is actually in the second part. They bring him in, and he's there for a bit, and he gets affected. So if he's okay talking about it, we're going to talk about that as well. So that's Monday on Ghost Box Radio. Really pretty excited to have him on. We've been talking about this for a while, and hopefully he's good. He's also somebody, and I don't think we'll have time to really touch on this, he's a bit of an expert on the Sharon Tate murders. And so there is certainly a lot to talk about there. Before we get back to things, Brianna says that, yes, definitely believe you can catch spirits from watching horror material. So be aware, people. Also, Brianna, we just heard your voice on the Megas Book Spot. Sound great. She did a bunch of different commercials for that, different styles and stuff. It's really cool. I'm glad that you really got into it all. It sounds really, really good. So, yeah, we're going to – and Heather's aware of findadeath.com. It is a it is really something. So – yeah, definitely tune in. Have questions, all that good stuff. Are we getting bored with what people finding as their favorites? We could do a little bit more and kind of get through it. I just love hearing people's opinions because I just love to know where people are coming from with what they think and stuff. And Danny said, and this I was waiting for this to show up, and I was surprised it took so long to show up on the list. Pet Sematary. And just watched the most recent movie, Pet Sematary Bloodlines, which is on Paramount Plus, if I'm not mistaken. Pretty decent storyline and twists and turns in the movie. Highly recommended. The original Pet Sematary, 1989, has Fred Gwynne in it, of course. Herman Munster, he is fantastic in it. Also, Denise Crosby is in it as well. I think it's a fantastic film. I bought the Blu-ray for it. Never really watched it. I do want to see it again. It's very creepy, a very creepy film. The book is very good as well. Michelle says Dale and Tucker versus Evil. Maybe not scary, but freaking funny. Also, The Prince of Darkness from 1987. Not sure if it would scare me today, but still think it's a movie every time I see a mirror. Let's see here. Chris also says Phantasm. Kim says The Ring, the flashing images that stay with you. And once you find out what The Ring is, it's a great movie. Now, Cindy and I are on the same page. And this, to me, is my favorite scary movie. Okay? Now just hang with me on here when I talk about it. Salem's Lot, 1979. That miniseries is fantastic, and it holds up very well. I think what I'd love to do as a video editor, I'd love to take that film and just cut a couple seconds literally from every scene. Like, just cut it out and just make it a little bit tighter. But I think it's a fantastic film. And if you have a chance, go check it out. But you have to find the version that is the two-part miniseries. That is such a great, great film. And it is, like, it should not have been on television for that time period. It scared – I was 5 years old, and it scared the you-know-what out of me. It really, really was a frightening film about vampires. It has all the wonderful things I love in horror. You know, Stephen King, it's vampires taking over. And they're almost like zombie vampires in a way because they are so transformed after they get bitten. So you have that. It's on the East Coast. You know, it's Salem's Lot, Jerusalem's Lot. You know, all these elements to make a fantastic story. The book is really good. The film is very good. Read the book. If you've seen the film, still read the book because they are similar but not the same. They're very good. I'm going to get somebody on in a couple weeks who is very well versed in the Salem's Lot film, and we're going to be talking about it. Also, we are going to have on in a couple weeks a friend of mine who does a podcast called Frankenstein Minute, Bill Evenson, and I'm going to have him on to talk about the Universal Frankenstein films because I think they're wonderful. We're in October, folks. You know what that means. It's Halloween. These are the perfect films to watch during that period of time. So we're definitely going to be having him on to talk about it. Anything else here that is really, I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street. First time someone, Rye says, Scream always makes me feel nostalgic. I wish the 90s never would have ended. The world sucks today. Well, I could go either way on that. I do have to admit, as being someone who in the 90s, I was in my 20s, boy, that was a fun period of time. There really was. That part, Rye, I agree with. And you're right. Scream definitely has that 90s mentality of telling a story. And it works good. I mean, to my mind, that was the first time, and I know other people will disagree with me and say that that time was other times, that the 90s, when we're talking the mid to late 90s, was when people who had grown up watching stuff that was made in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they were in a position to take properties, to take these stories or like stories, like the genres, like the horror genre, and flip it on its head. You know, so obviously Scream is kind of a takeoff on Halloween or Friday the 13th. But then what they did is they took it and they made it more fashionable for youth of the 90s and then kind of flipped it all on their head. You know, that's great stuff. I mean, where else are you going to get a film when you're talking about bringing in big stars and they only last, like, the first 5 minutes of the film? You know, I mean, it's just, it's really, really something special. Let's see here. Justin says, Werewolf by Night. Let's see here. Emily says, Get Out is a perfect movie, and she thinks perfect movies only happen once every 30 or so years. So I feel sad for you, because I don't think that that's necessarily true, but to each their own. It's also a different movie when a person watches it a second time. That's true. Now, Melissa says, you're going to think it's funny, the Blair Witch, because growing up, strange stuff like that happened on the farmstead where I grew up. I think Melissa's out in North Dakota. Watching that brought back same fear I had back then. I do not think it's funny at all. I think that that is very valid. And Blair Witch was huge for its time period, you know, and that, to me, Blair Witch is what got us to, like, the Paranormal Activity films. I mean, that's, and I'm a big fan of those. I didn't see anybody mention those at all during the questions. But I think that those are still pretty good films. What else do we got here? Let's see here. Jill Jade, she says, I see what you did there. The Shining, just loved it since I was a child. Not only is it cinematography beautiful, the story is mysteriously suspenseful, and all the actors do a wonderful job pulling us into the character's experience. It's both chilling and powerful in the supernatural sense. The imagery has stayed with me like no other horror film has. Thank you, Stephen King, for producing such fine work. Your stories leave us gasping, yet yearning for more. So there you go. And then Carolyn says, the older 80s horror movies stick with me, probably for childhood trauma reasons, right? There is an old campy one called Dolls that makes me look at dolls in an unsettling way. The Changeling from 1980 is another one I can't forget. It has a scene with a little red ball bouncing down the stairs all by itself with One was also based on true paranormal story, she believes. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Those would be interesting to see. I've not seen dolls. I mean, that sounds creepy. Let's even talk about this. I mean, what do you all think about, like, this is going back to the 70s, so some of you may be too young for this, but Dan Curtis, who created Dark Shadows, who had a hand in the Night, Kolchak the Night Stalker, what about the Trilogy of Terror? Have anyone ever heard of that? That's not a film. It was a television thing in the 1970s. And it was three stories, and the woman, and I'd have to look up her name. I don't remember what her name is, the star. And she's in all three of them. The last one has this little doll, and it's like a little doll from some other country, has big teeth on it, huge teeth on it. It's like not a voodoo doll, but like a witch doll. And it comes alive, and it just terrorizes her. And it has a little knife. It has big teeth, and it comes and just like gnaws at her. It just goes insane. It just goes after her, and it's truly frightening. And I remember that as a kid, and a lot of people talk about Trilogy of Terror as being something that is very scary for people. So I found that curious if anyone even remembers that one. Let's see here. James says the one that had the biggest impact on him will always be The Exorcist, as we've talked about. Linda Blair's head turning completely around, the voice, the vomit, the levitating. Folks, once again, if you haven't done so, listen to last night's episode with Bishop Christina Rake. It was probably way too much for a kid my age. Once again, I think I saw that when I was no more than six or seven myself. What's wrong with my parents? Honestly, I saw so much of this stuff. Oh, my God. They must have thought I could handle it. For some reason, I must have given them that impression. To this day, I still have a hard time watching it. P.S. The Ring really creeps me out, too. Chris says, Conjuring, all episodes of that movie due to my own experiences. Melvina says, Hotel Hell. Let's see. Cynthia says, Sybil, very mind-bending story. And then Stephen Hill says, possibly Exorcist 3. That's... I didn't expect that. I guess I don't remember Exorcist 3 that well, or maybe I remember it too well, one of the two. But Jill says that she remembers. I'm believing you're talking about Trilogy of Terror. I was on a live with Jill. We were talking about Salem's Lot. So Jill just wrote, still shocked they let me watch Salem's Lot as a child. Never slept the same again. Truly, frightening. David Soul in that, he's fantastic in it. You know, if you have a chance to find, there's a small bug flying around. Why are we surprised, right? If you have a chance to find Salem's Lot, watch it. Really do. Watch it with an open mind. It's truly frightening, especially when one of the mothers come back after being bitten. She's dead. She dies, and they put her in the mortuary, and she comes back to life as a vampire, and we see it transpire. There is nothing scarier than that. Cynthia says, yes, I've seen Trilogy of Terror. Rosemary's Baby is demon-related with big stars in it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's truly yeah, that's stuff for sure. Folks, as we wrap up the week, don't forget Monday we are going to have on Scott Michael. We're going to be talking about Hollywood and all that good stuff and why we have a fascination with the death of stars. That's going to be a great program. Please make sure to visit ghostboxradio.com to find past episodes of our radio shows and like us over on Facebook at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken. Also send any comments, feedback, or anything over to comment@ghostboxradio.com. Don't forget to check out the Best of Ghostbox Radio, airing Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 4 p.m. on AM 950. Finally, whether you're chasing spirits or just drinking them tonight, please be careful. We'll see you Monday as we talk about old Hollywood with Scott Michaels. Everyone, have a great weekend. Take care.